Fresh manna fell to the ground as a gift from God while the Israelites were in the wilderness. This is what they ate for 40 years. It was fresh from the ovens of heaven, baked by the master baker himself. How the Israelites must have anticipated the taste and the smell of each morning's delivery. Just like the Israelites, you too can now experience the taste and the smell of fresh manna. Today, you'll be listening to Moise Retsera, pastor of the Kalamazoo Filipino Company and Kalamazoo Seventh-day Adventist Churches. Now, here's Pastor Mo.
This time, let's have a word of prayer as we do the most important thing in the world, and that is to study the words of life. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the privilege of coming in your house and knowing that you're here with us. So today, as we open the Word of God, may you teach it to us, and may our lives never be the same again. In Jesus' name, amen. I went to a very interesting high school. It was mainly comprised of missionary kids, and it was a school next to a town called Agatarongay. It was next to a very beautiful hills called the Ingong Hills. And in there, our high school, which was called Maxwell, had a lot of game reserve, which it means that's where the animals would play. We had in there, in the midst of there, we had gazelles. We would have giraffes. We also had all sorts of predators. Some of them were jumping tarantulas that would eat birds. We also had spitting cobras and pythons. And also, once upon a while, you will have a leopard come by and all sorts of different predators that would come and roam around the school. It was an interesting setting to grow up in because every Saturday night, they would have games for us. Mind you, this was a boarding school and they would have all sorts of games. But the game of all games was called Survival Night. Survival Night was where they would take the entire school, about 100 of us, and they would divide us between the predators and the herbivores. Now, you know who the herbivores were. They were the lower classmen, the freshmen and the elementary kids. They were the herbivores. The herbivores could wear whatever color they wanted. Their main goal was not to be caught by the carnivores. The carnivores were an apex group of guys and some ladies, the upperclassmen that were selected. Only 20 of them could be a carnivore. The carnivores, they had to wear white shirts. They had to be visible. But if they caught you, that was it for you. The game took about 2.5 hours, and none of us. It was a sign of failure if you were a herbivore and you were caught by a predator. So you could imagine survival night would come. And in the midst of survival night, there was one exception to this rule of herbivores and predators. Now, mind you, all of us, we would hide. Could you imagine hiding in the midst of cobras? I don't know what the faculty were thinking, but we weren't thinking either, because we thought it was the best thing in the world to get lost in that wilderness. You could imagine about 80 kids lost in pitch darkness in the African night. The carnivores, they would give us about 30 minutes or so to hide. And you would hear a loud whistle, and it was game time. You would hear people screaming all night from the fear of what would take place. But then the one exception came about. In the last 20 minutes of the game, there would be what they would call the man. And the man was a man in his upper 60s, He was our chemistry teacher. His name was Professor Doug, we would just call him. And he had the one thing that could eliminate you instantly. He had the flashlight. If the man pointed his flashlight and saw you and called you by name, that was it for you. The man had the one tool, and that was light. And I can tell you, all of us kids, 80 of us kids, plus the predators as well, if he found the predators, they were done. Everybody was done, because he had the light. The light is a powerful thing, isn't it? The Bible tells us, as we go to John chapter 8, go there with me. John chapter 8. Remember, we're going through all the I am statements of Jesus. The first one we went over was, I am the bread of light. Very good. The second one that we went over, I am the... Does anybody remember? I am the good... Very good. I am the good shepherd. Now let's go to John chapter 8. And in there, Jesus, this thing that Jesus is about to say is actually going to start the process of people wanting to have him dead. John chapter 8. John chapter 8, if you can turn there, go with me to John chapter 8 and verse 13. John chapter 8 and verse 13. John chapter 8 and verse 13. If you're there, if you could say good amen. In John chapter 8 and verse 13, Jesus is about to have an interaction in there where things are not going to go well. Because prior to that, in verse 12, and we're going to go there to verse 12. In verse 12, he makes this statement. He says, then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the what, my friends? The light of the world. I am the light of the world. We're going to go all the way to verse 30 here. As we join Jesus in an interaction that ultimately down the road is going to cost his life. As a matter of fact, if you look at verse 37 in there, this is what Jesus had to say at the end of this discourse. He says, I know that you're Abraham's descendants, but you seek to do what, my friends? To kill me. From this point on, God is going to be a marked man. This statement that he's about to make, as we just read it, is going to be crucial to why they want to end. Take the lights out of Jesus. It begins, John chapter 8 and verse 12. It says, then Jesus spoke to them, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk into darkness, but have the light of life. The Pharisees therefore said to him, you bear witness of yourself. Your witness is not true. Jesus answered and said to them, even if I bear witness of myself, my witness is true, for I know where I come from and where I am going, but you do not know where I come from and where I am going. You judge according to the flesh. I judge no one. And if I do judge, my judgment is true, for I am not alone, but I am with the Father who sent me. It is also written in your law that the testimony of two men is true. I am one who bears witness of myself, and the Father who sent me bears witness of me. Then they said to him, where is your Father? Jesus answered, you know neither me nor my Father. If you had known me, you would have also known my Father also. These words Jesus spoke in the treasury and as he taught in the temple. And no one laid hands on him, for his hour had not yet come. Then Jesus said to them again, I am going away, and you will seek me, and will die in your sin. Where I go, you cannot come. So the Jews said, Will he kill himself? Because he says, where I go, you cannot come. And he said to them, you are from beneath. I am from above. You are of this world. I am not of this world. Therefore, I said to you that you will die in your sins. For if you do not believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. Then they said to him, who are you? And Jesus said to them, just what I have been saying to you from the beginning. I have many things to say and to judge concerning you, but he who sent me is true, and I speak to the world those things which I heard from him. They did not understand that he spoke to them of the Father. Then Jesus said to them, when you lift up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father taught me, I speak these things. And he who sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone, for I always do the things that please him. As he spoke these words, many believed in him. This statement from Jesus in chapter 12, verse 12, is one that he begins, as a matter of fact, includes in the introduction of the book of John. The statement again is Jesus claims to be, I am the light of the world. You got to understand that in a Jewish audience, Jesus claiming to be the light was too much. It was too much. Because they understood, looking at the books of the Bible, starting in the book of Genesis, when Jesus created the world, they had to be first what? Light. That light was always there present, even in their wilderness experience. There was light by night. There was light, and that light always represented God's presence. The light of God, as a matter of fact, even in the sanctuary, there had to be a light that had to be present in the holy place, and it was called the lamp. Don't lose it, my friends. Still stay with me. It was called the lamp stand. What was the function of the lamp stand? You don't have to be shy. You just speak to your pastor. It was used to be a light in the sanctuary, but what else did it represent? It represented the Holy Spirit. It represented God. That light was always there with them. And when Jesus claimed to be the light of the world, what was he claiming to be? He was claiming to be God. It was too much. When Jesus said, I am the light of the world, he was claiming to have the right place with God. He was claiming to come all the way, traces, all the way from Genesis up to this time. He was claiming to be the only source of life. And it was too much. Light as we know it, even in our day today, light is very important. Visible light is so important, and even invisible light is very important. To understand what that means, that Jesus was the light of the earth, we have to understand today, why did he choose the emblem of light? When we think about it, Jesus never chooses things just because it sounds nice. I am the light of the world. But when Jesus chose something as a symbol, he wanted to communicate something that that symbol also communicated. Think about it. How is light important to us today? How important is light to us today? Now, I want this sermon to be very practical. So, in order to understand what light means when Jesus says, I am the light of the world, I thought it would be interesting to see what we use light for today. What would a world without light look like? As a matter of fact, when you think about it, I could draw seven major things that light does for us. One of the first things that light does is that without light, there would be no life. If you think about it, there would be plants would not be able to survive, animals wouldn't be able to survive, and we as humans, we would not be able to survive. Without light, number one, light is a source of life. Number two, light helps us to see. If you want to know the value of what it means to be able to see, talk to a person that cannot see. Light helps us to see. Another thing that light helps us to do is that light helps us to regulate our bodies. Without light, or if we are tossed too much between different time zones, our bodies start to go in all sorts of directions. I remember one day I was flying to Australia, and I literally flew when I was going to Australia and coming back from Australia. When I arrived in America, I flew into the future. My time, because of that dateline, it had changed. But my body knew that things were not right. How did it know that? Because of the light. Light regulates our bodies. And number four as well, light protects us. Could you imagine going 75, or hopefully you stay in the midst of the highway laws, but could you imagine if everybody on the highway drove without lights in the middle of the dark? How many of us would say, today I'm going to go to Detroit and it's going to be a great ride. Nobody has lights. It's pitch dark. Let us go as fast as we could. How many of us would say that is a great idea? That would be a nightmare. Light is an agent of protection. Number five, light also reveals what we cannot see. There are many things in our world today where there are visible things that we can see with visible light, but there's also invisible light. That's very important. Some of that invisible light, we've used it to see things that happen inside of our bodies for health and different things. Light can penetrate almost anything. As we go through light and as we think about light, light reveals the things that we cannot see. Number six, light always gives. When you think about it, light is very interesting because it is not composed of atoms. As a matter of fact, light is a wave, right? And even radio waves are a form of light. When you think about light, whenever light hits you, light will always change you. It will either give you heat, or it will change the way that the object that it's going towards will be. As a matter of fact, when you think about it today, solar energy is a big deal, right? And solar energy, what it really is that when that light comes by, it translates itself into heat. Light never leaves you the same because light always gives. And number seven, darkness and light cannot coexist together. So you might say, well, Pastor, what does this all mean to the statement of Jesus saying, I am the light of the world? I want you to stay with me, and I hope you have your Bibles, because we're going to see how a lot of the things that light does reflects what Jesus does. Number one, we saw that light, without light, there will be no life. It is the same about Jesus. Without Jesus, there's no hope. Jesus is everything to you and I. We cannot go through life without Jesus. We might be able to survive, but without Jesus, life would not make sense. When Jesus said, "I am the light of the world," Jesus was saying, "He is our everything." Number two, just like light helps us to see, Jesus helps us to see what reality truly is. He helps us to make sense of our present, but he also helps us to make sense of our future. Go with me to 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 19. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 19. If you're there, if you could say good amen. Praise the Lord. Let's notice what Jesus does. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 19. The Bible says this, "And so we have the prophetic word confirmed, which you do well to heed as a what, my friends? As a light that shines in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star shall do what? Rise in your heart." What is the Bible saying? The Bible is saying, now this is talking about prophecy, about things that are to come. It says this light of the prophetic word shines until what happens? Until we shall see the morning star. But in the midst of that, where does the morning star start to rise? In our hearts. Friends, I hope you don't lose this, and I hope you don't forget this, is that the more we have Jesus and the more we follow His Word, the more and more Jesus will start coming into our hearts. But that event will culminate as the more we study the prophetic Word, one day as we continue in that Word, we shall see Jesus face to face. That is the power of the light of the Word. As we follow the light of the Word, more and more it leads us to eternal life. The light helps us to see, and the light is what we need. Number three, just like light regulates our bodies, guess what, my friends? The Word of God regulates our life. There are many things that happen in our lives today of which we might not understand why they happened. There are many events that take place in our lives today that we don't know why did this happen. But when we go to the Word of God, we see that God will make sense of everything in His time. I don't know why this took place in my life, but I know that God has an explanation. The Word of God regulates our life, just like light regulates our bodies. When you think about it, my friends, the Word of God is like an anchor to you and I. And when your life feels like it's going out of control, don't be afraid to go back to the Word. Number four, light, as you remember, also helps protect us from a lot of different things. You know, one conversation that will be very interesting is to ask Jesus, "How many things did you protect me from?" It will be very interesting in heaven for Jesus to tell us, "You did not know that when you walked out that street that morning, a car was coming your way of which you knew nothing of. You did not know in the middle of the night that when that storm came around that night, I am the one who saved you." There are many things that we don't know, but because of the light of the world, Jesus protects us. Number five, light reveals what we cannot see. When Jesus said in John chapter 8, verse 12, I am the light of the world, it was not only saying the things that we can see, but Jesus is the one also that reveals us the things we cannot see. Go with me to Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. One of the things that we cannot see very well often is the heart of man. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 to 13. The Bible in there says these words. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 to 13. It says, for the word of God is living and what else, my friends? Powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the division of soul and spirit and joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and what else? The intents of the heart. And there's no creature hidden from his sight. But all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give an account. When we think about it, my friends, Jesus is telling us today, he sees the things that even we cannot see. He sees the thoughts of the heart, the intents of the heart. There are many things that we think that, well, nobody is going to see. But Jesus sees it all. On the other side of it, there are many things that maybe have happened to you in your life that you thought nobody cared about. But guess what? The light of the world saw it all. When Jesus claimed to be the light of the world, he was also claiming to be the one that the world will have to be accountable to. That is why when Jesus gave this speech, it was too much for them because they said, who is this man that claims to be able to do all those things? Where is your father? Who are you? But Jesus truly was the light of the world. Number six, the light always gives. Go with me, my friends, to Luke chapter 24. And verse 32. Luke chapter 24 and verse 32. In Luke chapter 24 and verse 32, the Bible says it this way. Luke chapter 24 and verse 32. It says, and they said to one another, did not our hearts burn within us while he talked with us on the road, and while he opened the what, my friends? The scriptures to us. Remember we were talking how light, when light hits you, it can transfer into heat. You never leave the same when the light comes upon you. And right here in Luke chapter 24, verse 32, this is in the context of the road to Emmaus. As they were there, filled with despair, the hope that they had in Jesus, he was crucified. And they did not know what the future would look like. In the midst of all of that despair, walking through the road to Emmaus, there's a person that is there with them, but they are not able to recognize who is he. But this person, he starts to reveal his plan through the Word of God. And as he shares the words of God, their hearts, what happens to their hearts, my friends? It burns. As they go with this person, as he's revealing himself through the word, they realize that they were walking with Jesus Christ. My friends, there's an important thing for you and I to remember. When we encounter the word of God, our lives will never be the same again. Jesus could have chosen all sorts of things to reveal himself as. But he decided that the best way to reveal himself was through the word of God. And when the word was spoken and revealed, it burned inside of their hearts. So it is today. If you go to the word of God, you will never be the same again. Lastly, the darkness cannot resist the light. I want to talk to you, especially in our day and age today. When you look at the world today, the world indeed is very dark, isn't it? When you see the events that are taking place, it is very easy to be overwhelmed. When you hear of the things that are taking place and you see how rampant evil is in the world today, sometimes we might ask the question, is this it? But Jesus tells us in John chapter 8, verse 12, he is the light of the world. It is very interesting that Jesus makes that statement, because if you go with me to John chapter 1, go with me to John chapter 1, Jesus makes a statement about being the light. In the book of John chapter 1, let's go to verse 5. John chapter 1 and verse 5, and the Bible says these words. And it says, and the light shines in where? The darkness. And the darkness did not do what? Comprehend it. In another version, it says, and the darkness could not overcome it. Which is a more accurate translation of what it's trying to say. What is Jesus talking about here? We realize today we're in a great controversy, a battle between good and evil. But when the light shines, evil will not be able to overcome it. Whatever dark chapter you might have in your life, whatever experiences you might have had in your life, when the light will shine, it will overcome it. The ultimate culmination of the light will be when we'll be in heaven. And when we'll be in heaven, all the dark chapters, everything that we have faced, the light will shine and it will overcome. But even today, the light is still able to overcome. Amen? When Jesus said, I am the light of the world, what he was saying to you and I, there is hope for you and I. The reason many believed is because they knew that if they follow Jesus, there is always hope. Let's go back to John chapter 8. And as we close, Jesus makes another statement in John chapter 8, verse 12. Jesus says, then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. For he who follows me shall not walk into what, my friends? Into darkness. But have the light of life. Today, my friends, are you willing to follow Jesus? For very soon, though we are walking in the midnight hour of the world, at the darkest hour of time is when the light comes. And as we're on the edge of time, let us follow our Master closer than ever before, for he is the light of the world. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you that in the midst of darkness, there is light. May your light shine upon us. In Jesus' name, amen.
You've been listening to Moise Ratsera, pastor of the Kalamazoo Filipino Company and Kalamazoo Seventh-day Adventist Churches. If you enjoyed his sermon, why not visit him every Saturday at 1601 Nichols Road in Kalamazoo, Michigan at 11 a.m. or a church near you listed on strongtowerradio.org. This has been a Strong Tower Radio production.